Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Thanks for listening to Creative Control. While I have you here, please consider supporting Youth Empowerment and Support Services, otherwise known as YES. Based in Edmonton, Alberta, YES provides immediate and low-barrier overnight and day shelter, temporary supportive housing, and individualized wraparound supports for young people aged 15 to 24. They work collaboratively within a network of care focused on the prevention of youth homelessness by providing youth with the necessary supports to stabilize their housing, improve their well-being, build life skills, connect with community, and avoid re-entry into homelessness. Learn more about how to donate or otherwise support YES by visiting yess.org.
Hey, this is Trevor from Halifax, calling in to say that I support Creative Control on Patreon because I think long-form arts journalism is a crucial part of music culture, and there's simply not enough of it out there today. Vish is a master interviewer, he lands great guests, and he has his finger on the pulse of the ever-changing music landscape, both here in Canada and abroad. For all of these reasons and many more, I think you should support Creative Control on Patreon too.
To make your flexible monthly donation to Creative Control, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol today. I am Visha's wife, and I will love him no matter what you do. And now he has me on the record saying that.
Fez Gielen, Ali Hendra, Loris Katesai, and Loren Spear are close friends and musicians who first met each other while living in Montreal, Quebec. Through chance encounters and social gatherings, these four soon began playing music and writing songs together, eventually forming the enigmatic folk band Mabel, whose debut album, Gathering, was released in the spring of 2021. While not every member still lives in Montreal, Mabel continued to nurture their special bond and musical chemistry, and on October 27th, 2023, Ide Fix released their beautiful second album, which is entitled Gloam. Just prior to its release, all four members of Mabel and I gathered together for the band's first ever interview, in which we discussed things like loving Montreal, but also exploring new places to live in the world, working with the producer and Evening Hymns mastermind, Jonas Bonetta, how Bob Dylan is a folk singer from Minnesota, where Prince was also from, how the members of Mabel first met one another and their respective musical backgrounds, what it means to be obsessed, insights into the band's hypnotic presence and how they collaborate, bluegrass, Nirvana, and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, what the future of Mabel might look like, and much more. A part of the Entertainment One Network with the support of listeners just like you, who follow and subscribe to this donor-driven podcast and spread the word about it, and make flexible monthly donations at patreon.com/creativecontrol. That is the primary source of revenue for all of the work that goes into making this podcast. It's a modest following on Patreon, but it's a strong one still. I appreciate all of the donations. If you have the means and inclination to support this show, please do so at patreon.com/creativecontrol. Thank you so much. With additional support from Blackbird Music, a wonderful bricks and mortar record store with locations in Edmonton and Calgary, Alberta, and a wonderful website, blackbird.ca, where you can order things that you want shipped to your house. Say you want the new Mabel record, Gloam. Well, you just type all that information over there in their search engines or whatever, search boxes. Maybe it's a search engine. I don't know how that works. Over at their website, at Blackbird's website, and you'll probably be able to find the album and they'll be able to ship it to you. It's just that simple. Learn more about this, again, at blackbird.ca. Plus, in-kind support from the likes of independent businesses like Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee, respectively, in Guelph, Ontario, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton, Ontario. This is episode 822 of Creative Control, featuring the lovely and talented Allie, Loris, Loren, and Fez from Mabel, with your host, me, Vish Khanna. Hey, Allie, how's it going?
Going great, thank you.
Nice. Where in the world are you?
I'm in London, England.
Oh, jolly, jolly old London, as we like to say. How's it going there?
Going good. I'm here on a special occasion because I don't have internet at home, so I'm at my friend Joe's house for this session.
You went all the way to London, England, to get on the internet. Where do you normally reside?
Paris, France. No, I live here. Oh, I live here, but I just moved house, and so I don't have internet. So very novelty to be on Wi-Fi. It's been 3 weeks.
Welcome back to the internet. Nothing's really changed. It's still a hellscape. How long have you been in London, England?
1 year now.
1 year. Okay. And where did you move from?
I moved from Montreal, where we all met.
Oh, nice. Okay. Great. Mm-hmm. Did you say why you ended up in London? Any particular reason?
I just needed a change. I was in Montreal for 10 years, very formative time. And yeah, I guess mainly work. And it's kind of the one place in the world where I have a lot of other friends I wanted to reconnect with. Oh, okay. So yeah, it was a nice, easy enough community space to move into. But I guess just like a sort of second adulthood challenge chapter.
Is there any significance to the fact that you went from a very French place to arguably the most English place?
Well said. Yeah, definitely. There's definitely limitations to, I mean, especially just in a professional sense, to finding work in Quebec. I'm sort of mildly bilingual.
That's a condition. Yeah. You can get that looked at. If you're mildly bilingual, you can go to the doctor and they'll give you something. Right. So you're having
very different.
I don't mean to delve too much. I know I already have, maybe a little too much, but, vocationally, what is it you do that you, couldn't quite do there, if I may ask?
Gosh. I mean, currently many things. I'm sampling out a life for myself. This year has been filled with many different jobs.
Oh, okay.
Paving a professional path in a new place, I'm realizing takes time, but I guess broadly, working in sustainable fashion, working with smaller businesses to help them grow. So, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Fashion.
Loosely fashion. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's a good catch-all. All right. Well, it's very nice to encounter you and to learn more about you. Thank you for being on the show. I'm going to say hello to... Who should I start? Fez, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Vish.
How are you?
I'm very well. How you doing?
It's nice. I'm well, thank you. It's nice to see you again. We've met this way once, at least once before.
Yeah, we met this way once before. It's a long story that maybe is not worth getting into. But I called you for a podcast I was doing, and I never released that episode, but it still could happen. But I actually do want to mention that after that, I found a very old photograph that actually the two of both you and I are in.
What?
Didn't meet then, but I'll send it to you, and it's quite something.
That's it? What's the context? Come on, man. You can't leave me hanging here.
Okay, it was 2005. I was 13. It was at Hillside Festival. Were you there?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm not, your whole entire face isn't in it. So I'm not 100% certain it's you, but I figured Hillside, probably you.
There's a brown guy at Hillside. It's a good chance it's me, I'm sure. Yeah.
My friend Kaylee Runciman, who has a project called Boyhood. She's a great musician. But we're longtime friends. So I was 13. We're probably both 13. And we were posing for a picture with Wynn Butler. They're the front person from Arcade Fire.
Right.
And there you are in the background, staring directly into the camera.
Oh, interesting.
Can you pull it up?
So I was photobombing your heinous historical moment. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. It's all sort of – but I think, you know, maybe we crop one guy out, keep you in, and then it's still sort of
– Oh, you've got the photo right there. Look at that. Oh, my God. Look at how little you are. Holy Lord.
Really little.
Wow.
Is this the same era as the Feist photo?
Well, we don't have to get into all
that. I think we should get into that.
Yes.
What? Okay, there's just you
anyway,
taking
so
photos.
So, yes, we've crossed paths before.
Oh, wow.
And it's good to see you again.
Nice to see you. Well, that's remarkable. You know, it's funny. You mentioned Boyhood. There's a connection there with Jonas Bonetta, too, right?
That's right.
Yeah, because Jonas just texted me as we were speaking, and I put my phone on. Jonas, if you're listening, I got your text, but I put my phone on Do Not. It reminded me that I had my phone not on Do Not Disturb during a call.
When I get a text from Jonas, that's usually the signal for me to put my phone on Do Not Disturb.
Yeah, I wrote him this morning to be like, man, these Maybell records are super nice. And then he just texted me back, but I don't know what he said. I just turned it off. So, weird small world. Sorry, Fez, can you, people listening may not understand this. What's the connection between Jonas, Boyhood, and you two, and you and you at Hillside in 2005?
Boyhood is Kaylee Runciman, who I was at Hillside with in 2005. And Kaylee is partners with Jonas. They live together and have a family together. And Mabel has recorded both of our records at the studio they have called Port William Sound.
Yeah.
And both Jonas and Kaylee play on both records as well.
Amazing. What a weird small world that just came together over technology. Well, it's nice to see you. I'm sorry. I forgot to ask Fez, and I know you got someone there with you. We'll get to that in a moment. But where in the world are you?
I'm in Consacon, Prince Edward County, Ontario.
Consacon. I don't believe I'm familiar with that.
Maybe you've heard of Prince Edward County.
Prince Edward County is all the rage. It's like the Hamptons for indie musicians in Canada. That's disparaging? I didn't mean that. But every time someone tells me they're going on a little retreat, they go to Prince Edward County. It's all the rage, is it not?
It's kind of become a hot spot, yeah. I mean, I grew up in Belleville, which is just across the bridge from here. Yeah, it wasn't always Hamptons.
Is that the wrong distinction? Like, it just seems like
I think that's fair, honestly. Yeah, it's become like pretty full of, like, you know, now a coffee in the county costs like $6.
Right.
You see a bunch of expensive haircuts around and stuff.
Yeah.
And that was unimaginable at one point. But I've been living here for about a year and a half this time. I've lived here before. In this particular house, year and a half.
Also left Montreal for Prince Edward County gathering? Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, weird connections for you and me. And sorry, did we encounter each other when you were 13 and I was at Hillside in 2005? And if so, was I nice? Was I not? I never know how this is going to go.
I don't believe we met.
No.
There wouldn't have been any reason for us to talk unless you were like pushing past me because I was much smaller than.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like me though. No, I don't think so. So 2005, I would have been like 27. So there's no reason why we would have. I mean, 13, you were there with your parents, I assume, or no?
I was there with Kaylee's parents.
Kaylee's parents. There you go.
Right, well, yeah. Great. We were, yeah. Anyway.
That's good. That's great. That's awesome. All right. Well, thanks for being back on the, or sorry. Thanks for having me on your show and then not posting the episode. That seems about right. And secondly, thanks for making time to be on my show. We'll see if it actually goes out. Now, Lauren, are you there?
I'm here.
Nice,
yep.
Nice to see you. How are things going?
Very well. I feel very giddy being here. The four of us, like our band, we haven't connected like this in a while. We have kind of a group text that we're active in, but I haven't seen these shining faces all together in a sec, so I'm happy.
Oh, well, that's lovely. I'm glad I could help facilitate that on some level. I gather it's geography. When was the last time you were all in the same space?
This past summer, Al came back for her sister's wedding, so she was in Canada, and we caught a glimpse. We actually probably only saw each other for like 48 hours, like all together. And like did a photo shoot. we had a small window of time to like catch up and also get down to business. So yeah, I think we reconnected and did our album promo shoot and had a wee drink.
Oh.
It was explosive. It was so fun.
Sounds like we drank wee.
No. A wee drink. Ew, Fez. No, we just caught up and we had a blast. It was so fun, but I don't even know when we're going to see each other next.
Really? No, Ben, you got
IRL.
Got an amazing album coming out and stuff. There's no,
we do. Yeah. As a band, not great at like the planning side, I would say. I definitely want to play a show, but we don't have anything on the books, boys. So
yeah,
we got to figure it out. But yes, we're releasing an album. In a week.
Yeah, as we're speaking, in a week, yeah. Well, that's both nice and sad at the same time. I'm glad we're convening. I'm sorry there's no future for Mabel. That's
There's nothing.
There's always a future.
There's always a future.
There's always a future for us, but even by accident.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the thing, yeah. I feel like our entire project has been kind of by accident in a really nice way.
Now, Lauren, I see you are sitting there with Fez. You two cohabitate. Is that fair?
We do not. No, I'm just visiting.
Oh, okay.
I live in Montreal. Just popping in for the weekend.
Oh, it's nice.
So nice here.
Did you make this trip just to be on this call?
No, I was coming anyway. I'm like thinking about a move.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Visiting. I didn't know about that. Oh,
I also didn't know about
Everybody's
well. This Hello. Is what happens. Yeah, we
My
miss
best
a lot.
My friend lives 5 minutes away, and she's telling me she's moving to Port William on a call.
We don't know. We don't know what's happening. But I love the countryside, and I've been in Montreal for like 11 years. Yes, Lo and I are the only ones to actually live in the same place.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'm contemplating moving, but there's nothing planned fully,
you know.
So
there's nothing better than a good old-fashioned Zoom revelation. So sorry everyone that you're shocked at this news that there might be a move, but this is what happens. Well, maybe we'll get to this as we go here and talk about this band, about why you might wanted to get, well, you know what? No, why? What, you're just sick of Montreal? Everyone seems to, this is taking a weird tone. Everyone hates Montreal in this band, except for maybe one person at the moment. They don't hate it.
I mean,
they're just leaving. I'm sorry, but it's a hard city to live in.
I love it. I mean, I wouldn't even say I'm like bilingual at all. I'm so bad at French, and it's hard to like feel like it's fully my home. I feel like guilty all the time. And I mean, Ali has inspired me to like try a new place and have a new chapter.
Oh.
I just don't totally know where it is. And also, it's nice. I live probably like a 10-15 minute walk away from Lo right now. That will be hard to adjust to. Like, it's such a great city because everything is so walkable and everyone lives so close.
Yeah.
That we are spoiled in that way. I know, Ali. I mean, in London, you
it's
have
terrible.
To just, like, plan. No.
Quality of life in Montreal is, like, the best ever. It will ever be. Like,
I back Montreal forever and ever.
Okay.
I think sometimes
we've won 80. I think everyone, all of you are going to end up back in Montreal. It's the best city of all the places, maybe even somehow.
It is what brought us together. And we all have really interesting, beautiful histories with each other that happened in that city.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm forever grateful for, I mean, the friendships there are lifelong for sure.
Truly.
Well, I'll tell you what, I live in Edmonton, Alberta now, and we moved from Guelph, and I miss Guelph. I miss my Ontario life quite a bit. So it's normal. And I mean, it's also been exacerbated by a pandemic, right? So everything's sort of weird. Yeah. Like I find it weird, like that we moved at the exact time that the world changed forever kind of thing. And then when you go back, you're like, I don't even know. It just seems like a different world. So anyway, I'm sorry. I don't even know if I would engage with things the way I used to if I was back, but I do miss it. But do I miss the city or do I just miss things the way they were before the pandemic? I'm confused.
Totally.
Anyway, this True Confessions podcast is not the point. Thank you for sharing that. We have neglected one member of Maybell here. Loris, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I know you just got some earth-shattering news about one of your neighbors moving. I can see it in your face. This is taking you back a little bit, taking you aback. Are you okay?
My heart's fluttering. No, I'm okay. Oh. No, of course I'm okay. I think the moment that I knew that everyone was going to leave was around April 2020. When we were in the middle of the pandemic and Fez was just about, he had been, because Ali, Loren, and I had been living together in like a cute little pseudo townhouse in Montreal. And Fez was on his way to Texas. And so he was staying at our house, I think, for like a week or like on and off or something like that. And I think in that moment, I kind of felt like, all right, you know, it's one of, I don't know. I felt something in that moment that it was the beginning of all of us eventually going in different places. And then obviously soon enough, I think a year or two after, Ali, Loren, and I moved out to different places as well.
Oh, wow. Sorry, Fez, when we spoke for that podcast that I didn't do a good enough job on to warrant release, were you in Texas at the time? I feel like this is coming. Is that possible?
Yeah, I was. Yeah. And to be clear, it's because I have not done a good enough job as a podcaster and editor. So the files are just sitting there. No, I mean, there's some real gold there, I think. I just haven't gotten around to it. But I was in Texas, yeah.
Sorry to jump from you there, Loris, but you mentioned Texas. Okay. This is just it's like, where in the world is Carmen San Diego for a podcast at this point? Everyone's all over the place. Why were you in Texas again? I can't remember, Fez.
Southwest Texas is just a place that I go. I have like a little trailer out there in the desert and, just kind of one of my favorite places in the world. And so I go there sort of, regularly and spend time out there.
It's just a very interesting guy. You got a trailer, just an abandoned trailer in Texas that you just visit whenever you want?
It's abandoned when I'm not there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yes. So yes, I do. I mean, it's just, that's right.
All right. I feel like you were couching your words carefully there, but that's good. I appreciate that. That's good. Thank you for that context. Okay. Sorry there, Loris. So how long have you been in Montreal?
Since 2012. And I moved here originally, like many other people, or some other people, for school.
Okay.
And just kept doing school and then some other things in between, and I'm still here.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So, Loris, how did you meet some of the people on this call? Not me. Everyone else. How did you actually encounter one another?
I'll start with when I first met Ali. Ali was... Oh, I hope... Are you... anyway, there's a kettle going off in the other room. So, I really apologize.
That's okay. It's a sign that our time is almost up. No, I'm just kidding. It's an alarm. Yeah.
But yeah, basically, I met Ali in my first year at Concordia University. We were in philosophy, and I happened to be friends with this one guy. Later on, that guy and Ali started dating, and Ali remembers our first encounter, me wearing sparkly purple socks or something like that. Anyway, we became good friends and continued on. Well, Loren I met her through basically through mutual friends that I knew since high school. And they all moved, many of them moved here and, you know, got to know Loren. And I think the first time I saw her was at a bar, like in a bathroom or something.
Just I remember being obsessed with Lo. My friend had a crush on her and I was like, yeah, I can see why. I was just like so enamored. I remember seeing you like you at a house party or something and me like approaching you and like just wanting to be your friend so hardcore. Oh. I thought she was so cool.
She's so cool. Mm-hmm. Loris is so cool.
Yeah. Good. Come on, guys. And then, thank you so much though. And then with Fez, I met Fez. I remember one time Fez was also dating someone and first probably saw him at this house and I thought, who is this man? And anyway, it turned out that, well, we were in, became in a, well, we made two albums.
Oh, okay.
So basically, but yeah, I don't know, all through mutual friends, really. And then Mabel just kind of, we just started playing some music in a living room years ago.
Okay.
And then I just kept it, you know, growing. But basically, that's how we all, it was time and place. Time, place, people. That's how I have come to know all these great people in my life.
Well, that's...
AKA...
It's an excellent and succinct summation of this meeting and these relationships. Thank you so much, Loris. But I must ask, does anyone can anyone punch any holes in Loris's story? Is anything wrong? Ali, were you actually into Prince and wearing purple? Were you how accurate was Loris's account, Ali?
Did she say something about Prince?
What?
Did
she you said say purple, Prince?
No, purple socks.
Oh, purple socks. Yeah, it was purple
sorry,
socks.
My references are going to be a little older. I'm a little older than you guys.
I wish I grew up with Prince. I didn't. It's an absolute...
Prince was a folk singer from Minnesota. He's much like Bob Dylan.
sorry. It's terrible. I have to say, love my parents, but I wish they raised me on Prince. Yeah, their musical capacity was potentially a little limited growing up. Hmm. So yeah, no Prince, love Prince now. The accuracy, I think, very accurate. I think, yeah, we've all like fallen in love with each other as friends in really different, beautiful ways. And it's like Montreal works in these kind of cycles through university, I think. Like you make your friends and then you come out and you make new friends. And like when you're trying to find work and be an adult, and we all kind of met in these like interesting rotations. And I think... Yeah, we started the band, the three of us, and then Fez joined. Fez was a later recruit, and it only really felt complete when Fez was there. Mm-hmm. But it was a really sweet, humble beginning. Still humble. Loren?
We started singing together, the three of us, I remember, after the Me Too movement.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And we had like a support group going where we would just like gather and talk and share. And that's when I remember starting to sing with you guys, right? Because it just seemed like a nice activity to do to kind of take our minds off of everything. Mm-hmm. So then
on Allie's couch, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I also was obsessed with Allie and I wanted so badly to play music with these girls. Yeah, I remember like some old horrible recording of us singing something.
Yeah, you guys were in bands though and playing music. And I remember, I mean, Lo and I had known each other for a while, but then Loren and I became friends in like 2017, right? Yeah 2017. Mm-hmm. We worked the same job.
I think our first band was called Egg. And in fact, Egg. I think we even have a poster.
Egg. Yeah.
Egg.
For our first show.
Terrible.
And I think we were like, horrible, why don't we just horrible name. Try, Egg.
I pick up on a special dynamic here. Loren, besides me, is there anyone that you've encountered that you don't become obsessed with? You've said this about...
I have. Definitely. I feel like when making friends, I really like set my sights on someone and I'm like, you're mine. You're for me. I did it with Fez. I did it with everyone here where I was like, I see something here and I want to keep it near me. Fez, I remember we met and I loved his music. This was like 11 years ago, I heard like a demo or something that he did. And I was like, I want to play music with this guy. I barely knew him. But I feel like that is a quality that I possess, is like being very assertive with my friendships.
So the answer is no. There's no one that you've encountered that you don't become slightly obsessed with.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Well, that's good that you know that.
Yeah. So we're not special.
These are just just a couple players in my life.
Flavors of the week.
I find it. I'm heartened by the story that you were in a support group and began singing together. And Loris, I neglected to ask you this question, but Allie said something. I'll go to Allie on this first because Allie said something about her parents' terribly pedestrian musical tastes and how it was just a sheltered life. Sorry, whole show is me misconstruing things you just said on the record and distorting them. But no, Allie, can you talk a little bit about what the music in your house was like, what you heard, what got you singing as a young person, I suppose?
No, I do have some great references, but they're very specific. I think, we moved around the world growing up. So we moved every 4 or 5 years. So I don't have a very clear base. And I think that influenced a lot of the music I grew up with, not being like what my friends grew up with when I moved to Canada, like very different. But yeah, I guess like loosely, my dad would play a lot of world music. And I feel like, I think when I was about 4, I remember we had a family band and we would play the Rolling Stones in our living room, and I would play the drums on like Duplo. So music at dinner, music on the weekend, music was always playing in the house. But I guess I had to learn about my own canon, kind of going into university, especially with like folk and country. I had to learn about what I liked. I would say it was like 19 years old onwards. Like I was kind of a late music bloomer. Okay. So I didn't really, I didn't really explore fully until I moved to Montreal. So Montreal was very formative for me exploring music and also seeing live music. I'd like never really been a gig girl.
Yeah.
And then it became the only thing that I really loved. So yeah, late bloomer.
And do you mention the drums as a child, but do you play any instruments as well or primarily a vocalist?
I do not play the drums. Yeah, I'm actually terrible at instruments. I'd say vocalist. I learned the flute and the piano when I was a kid. I'm very decent at guitar. Mm. I'm scared of the guitar. I find it very difficult. Mm. But yeah, I think I don't have a lot of discipline with learning instruments, and I think I could one day get into something new, but I think the voice is where I feel most at peace, and I sang a lot as a kid, and so it feels very like inner child alignment, you know.
Yeah, well, thanks for explaining that. Loris, back to you. So similar kinds of questions in terms of what got you into singing and what got you into music. Can you trace that a little bit for us?
Yes, I can start off with my grandfather, who was an opera singer during the communist regime in Albania.
That, of course he was.
Then
that
I
makes
will
sense.
Start, yeah. And then I will send it off. That, and then from there, then my mom learned. He was the head of the music school in Albania, and then taught my mom the violin. And then my mom taught me the violin since I was 5. So from 5 years old to 19, I was a classically trained violinist and didn't get into the schools that I wanted to. And then around 19, I thought, well, I'm just going to go and study philosophy then. But basically, I grew up listening to classical music, big fan of Mozart and Bach. Classical music was always at CDs in the car. I had to memorize exactly, it was just helpful when I was preparing for recitals and things like that. And because I'm Albanian, lots of Albanian music, lots of Serbian music. We had a lot of Serbian tapes. And in terms of more pop music and indie music, that came, I think, probably when I was in high school, because I went to an art school and that ska was very big. So we would go to, Toronto, and there were lots of venues there at the time. So I think that was sort of just the beginning of, I guess I was probably 14 or 15, the beginning of exploring music that was beyond classical music and Baroque music and all that. And I guess I taught myself how to play the guitar around my friends, watching them play. I never really wanted to go on YouTube. I didn't really like to watch other, I just was more of like an in-person, like I will learn to play this instrument. And because, you know, it's not too far off from, you know, the violin, of course, it's just another string instrument, but, I guess like, you know, during orchestra, like, you just like wait around, see what the conductor, you know, if he was like talking to the trombone section, then you just sort of be plucking at it like a guitar. So I think finally I got my chance when I was like 20, bought a ukulele, and then worked up from there.
Wow. So sorry, you sound like a ringer, to be honest. Like you got it all going on there. That's amazing. Do you play? Oh, and sorry for those who may not be familiar, Mozart, Bach, folk singers from Minnesota. Now you mentioned a couple of things there that I want to ask about in terms of the instrumentation that you have a background in. Do you bring that to Mabel, or are you primarily focused again on the vocals?
I think from what I remember is when we first started singing and we thought, oh, you know, let's try and play this one show at this one venue called Barfly. Loren had been actually subletting or some living at Fez's, this one place that the Fez was living in. Mm-hmm. And I brought the violin, and that was the first time where I tried to play it like a fiddle, because it's basically the same instrument. You just have to sort of play it differently. And so there were some types of songs that I had played in the past that were more in more like Scottish sort of music,
yeah,
but not really. So I kind of used what I could, and it's a lot of just like droney sounds, but it's actually really hard. And that was the first moment, I think, when I started sort of playing it more like a fiddle. But I have to say it was very hard for me because of the way that I was trained, and it was all like reading music. And so playing it more in an improvised way was very difficult. But I got a chance at doing that, and it never really went too far, actually. I think we were on this one island doing like a small little residency in Nova Scotia, and I think it was in 2019, and that was where I was trying to practice it more like a fiddle. But I didn't push myself too hard, I think.
There's just some beautiful musical textures in the sound that you have created. It's really haunting. And the instrumentation, I know for some, maybe it would be not unusual for people to really home in on the vocal harmonies and the beauty in that. But I do find that as I listen more, I'm like, man, the music is super fascinating and interesting. And I hope that doesn't get lost. So I want to get to where that comes from in a moment, I hope. Anyway, my question, so sorry, Loris, do you play music on Mabel Records?
I do. Do I play music? You mean like instruments?
Yeah, no, sorry. I know you're in the band. Yeah. I didn't mean, are you just doing the books? I know you're in the band. I'm sorry. I meant, are you contributing to the instrumentation?
Yes. So then I started becoming more into finger picking with the guitar. So Fez was always someone that I looked up to, because every single time that we would practice or just like hang around in the living room and just, you know, I was in awe of his finger picking style. So I would just either borrow Loren or Ali's guitar before I bought my own only a couple months ago.
Okay.
So I just was just obsessed with like learning how to get certain chords and phrases. Obviously I'm not as skilled as Fez is, for example, but basically, yes, I play the guitar, I play the violin, just those two really. And then we kind of, whenever we would be at Port William and the recording studio with Jonas, we would just sort of fool around with whatever synths they had, things like that. So, yeah.
Okay. Appreciate that. Thank you. And I'm sorry for having not seen you live yet. And I think I started, I don't know if this was on the record or not. I think I said this during the chat that we were having on the record here, that I was not as familiar with this band until recently, and now I'm quite, much like Ali, I'm a little obsessed, and I want to know more. And so I appreciate this background. Forgive my ignorance if things are obvious to you and I don't know them, but that's usually what happens with me. I don't know anything. I just make stuff up as I go.
Not many people know this band, yeah, I would say.
This is our first interview.
Sometimes your first interview? Interview ever?
We're so excited.
Oh, man.
Yeah. We've been waiting. For this.
I'm sorry that this is your first interview. This is not good.
No.
Well, you know what? It's kind of
perfect.
You know, I guess some would say a little mysterious. I think there was one tiny little bloop, some tiny little thing like in a column on Exclaim saying, whatever happened to Mabel? Like, they just put out one album and then just that's it? Like, anyway.
There's already, where are they now columns about this band? that I just found out. Now I feel really out of touch. Okay, I should have been paying more attention. Anyway, Loris, I really appreciate that background. Want to go to Fez because Fez, again, as you can tell, I'm trying to do some research on the fly. Can you give us a sense of, and everyone seems to be pointing to you as a key figure in this particular configuration, almost, I don't want to say musical director, but I'm getting that sense a little bit here. Forgive me if that's incorrect. Tell us about your history with music, how you got into it, and then I've got a sense of how this social configuration came about, but how this band actually came about. Can you do some of that heavy lifting for us there, Fez?
Sure. I mentioned I grew up in Belleville, Ontario, which at one point was actually, you know, kind of a tour stop for indie music in Canada. Mm-hmm. But I was like super young. But I'm the youngest of four children. And so anyway, I have the privilege of like finding out about cool music and bands from my older siblings, my parents too, but my eldest brother, Bram Geelan, who is a musician.
Oh, that's weird. Sorry. I just had Joseph Shabison on.
Yes.
And I know, and I was, you know, how you tag people. Sorry. What'd you say? Did you say you liked the conversation? I picked up on a rare compliment and I, my ears, someone said something nice about me.
I'm a long time listener.
I appreciate it. I'm just being silly. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I was tagging people in the post who contributed to Joseph's album. And I was like, Bram Geelan, who is this? And I added it. And then Bram, I believe, shared it maybe even. There you go.
So what? Oh, yeah. So there were shows happening in Belleville. And for some, like, he was a teenager and I was like, you know, 10 and or 11. And for some reason, he would let me tag along with him and go to these shows. And so I sort of very early on became like obsessed with
word of the day,
you know, music. And like and so very early on started like writing songs and, you know, had like a little band and stuff. Anyway, so I mean that was like the formative music thing for me, I think. Great Canadian bands and non-Canadian bands coming through Belleville. And I was writing songs and playing music at a young age, and then I moved to Montreal for school, dropped out of school, and was playing music still, but then at some point kind of I sort of stopped, like in my early 20s, like not entirely, but I stopped performing and writing for a while, you know, kind of classic like early 20s, young man, kind of dark. Not super dark. Anyway, but whatever, something happened and I sort of lost all my confidence and stuff like this. And then, because of Loren's obsession with me, no, but I mean, I was, you know, she did kind of like, she had heard recordings of my music, old ones, and kind of like courted me to like play music with her, or at the time it was Mabel, it was these three. And so they sort of pulled me in and I really like owe a lot to these three for like bringing music back into my life in a way where I was playing music and writing songs again, and I love them so much. So they had already sort of been cooking and writing songs and singing together, and then they brought me in at some point. And no, I wouldn't say I'm a musical director or anything.
Okay,
like that.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
He definitely helped shape it, though.
Fez did come in because of the tour with Eliza, no? Wasn't it that time?
Eliza Niemi, is that who you're referring to? Yeah,
exactly.
Formerly of Mauno and also a folk singer from Minnesota, if I may continue to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Our collective idol icon. No, we all love
Eliza's the best. I love Eliza very much. One of the funniest people I've ever encountered in this literally business of ours as well.
She's a who.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you there, Allie.
So true. I think Fez, because I remember, so that tour was in 2020 with Eliza.
No, 2019.
So we'd been playing and then we knew we needed to bring someone on for some instrumental support.
Yeah.
And
that's right. Yeah. A lot of Mabel is just like, various people's generosity kind of glomming together. Because, like, yeah, we didn't have a record or anything. And Eliza did and was doing this East Coast tour and brought us along with her.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was that was the beginning of April of 2019.
2019. Okay.
There was 2019. And then in November, we recorded the first album.
That's right. And then we made our first record, Gathering. And, I mean, I think, I don't know if this is too much history, but I think, like,
it
kind of came together and it was like sort of a spark and we made a record. And I don't know about, I won't speak for all of us, but I didn't necessarily think Mabel would go beyond that necessarily. Partly
I didn't think
because
Mabel
everyone
was
moving away and stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then Ide Fix liked the record and they signed us and suddenly we owed them a second record. And we've really been blessed to we sort of had to make more music together.
It seems to me that you have a very lovely family type dynamic. It sounds very familial and I appreciate all this background. Lorraine, I want to ask you the same questions everyone else has been fielding about your background in music. As we go, I'm starting to pick up on how the band works, but I hope we can also get to how songs are sparked in this group. I'm still not exactly clear. Having designated Fez as musical director and having that debunked, I'm not exactly sure how a song in this configuration gets started. Lyrically, arrangement wise, these sorts of things. It sounds like it's something you work on together, but those sparks are always important. And sometimes in bands, one or two people are responsible for sparks. I would not be surprised if that's not the case here and it's a full democracy. I've gone on and on with this leading question. Lorraine, first of all, can you talk about your background? How did you get into music as a young person and start singing and maybe even playing?
Both my parents are musicians. They're teachers primarily, but my mom plays mandolin and my dad is a singer-songwriter. He plays folk music. So music was a big part of my upbringing. And my mom kind of got bit by the bluegrass bug when I was a teenager. And
ooh, the bluegrass bug.
That rubbed off
that
on
hurts.
Me. Yeah.
The bluegrass bug, those things. Yeah.
Yeah. Stayed with me, that bite. It really got me. I became obsessed with bluegrass, honestly. Yeah. Ding, ding, ding. Through her. And, moved to Montreal and I didn't really find a folky or bluegrass community. So I think I kind of forced that upon Lo and Allie a bit just because I love singing three-part harmonies.
It's
and
actually,
I was like,
I think it's true. I didn't know anything about folk before Lorraine.
I really wanted to sing with people in that way. Just, I love the harmony that's in bluegrass. So that's my background, but you were asking about how songs take shape.
I was asking about that as well, yeah.
All of us write separately and have started writing together. So for the first record, it was Allie, Lo, and I that wrote the songs. We have songs that we wrote individually. And then as Lo was referencing, we did a residency out east where we wrote together. And then with this new record, we have Fez's songs for the first time, which is really exciting because he's one of my favorite songwriters ever. And Allie and I wrote a song together on this new record. Lo wrote the bangers, I will say. She comes out of nowhere with just the hottest track I've ever heard in my life. And
what are some examples of such bangers, if I may interject?
There's one of the singles is called Matters. And as soon as she started playing it, I was like, yep, let's go. There's another song called Rebloom that I love that was a single as well. Yeah.
Oh, so literally the single. They're not just bangers. They're the singles. Yeah. Absolutely.
Singles.
No doubt.
Loris, yeah.
No. Yeah, Loris wrote all three singles.
Yeah.
Iconic.
Loris, what makes you such a pop superstar exactly that you're responsible for all the singles? What do you think?
I don't know what to say because I, like I said, earlier growing up, there was no words in songs. It was always instrumentals, with classical music. So it's not like I grew up writing songs. I only started writing songs because of this band. And I think it was a way, it was kind of like a practice, you know, like when I wrote these three songs, it was during the pandemic. And I told myself, all right, I'm just going to try and write a song like every day. It'll just be short. It'll just be kind of just like writing, you know, it's kind of like an exercise. And so of the ones that I was writing, just like little bleeps and bloops here and there, these ones kind of came out relatively easy because it was obviously a very reflective time.
Yeah.
Some of them were created in my mind faster than others. But that's pretty much it. Yeah, I think it was, yeah, truly, except for Matters, most of the songs that I have written were just sort of kind of exercises for me.
I one of the things I marvel at in when listening to the new record, Gloam, I hope, am I pronouncing that correctly? I hope I am. Mm-hmm. It's Gloam. Yeah.
You got it.
Mm-hmm. Are just the decisions. There's just some cool decisions. Like All at Once, the chorus, if I may, I'll speak sing it to, I'm not going to sing it, but it, for those who haven't heard it yet, it's the chorus is ostensibly All at Once, all at once. That's just a very simple, I hope I know this doesn't come across as like, well, yeah, that doesn't sound like a big deal at all. Vish, but for those listening, but there's just a little, that's a little bit of decision making, or the song, I believe it's the last song on the record, For Nothing. There's just phrasing choices and arrangement choices that are uplifting. I don't know how to put it. I'm just like, that's a very straightforward turn of phrase, but the decision making involved is ingenious to me to make it sort of an earworm. And I just wonder how these things come about. We focused a lot of attention on Loris's amazing abilities, but
I would like to say I cannot take credit. I start off with something small and then it just snowballs with these guys. It would not be what it is right now without their help. No way.
Well, that's a really good way of putting it. I was clumsily trying to say that it's very accessible in that sense. So it seems like a small thing to phrase a line like all at once that way. But then I can't, it doesn't leave, it's not, it's a huge thing for me on this record that it doesn't leave me. So I don't know if I have a question. Well, let's get to that. Who's responsible, I guess, for that particular or those kinds of decisions? And that specific song, who wants to own up and take credit for this?
Ali.
Yes.
All at Once. Oh, yes. I wrote that. Yeah. Yeah.
And so that little choice you made in terms of how to convey that, that just came to you, obviously, but I'm guessing.
Yeah. I don't know. Specifically, that one started quite simple. But yeah, I'll usually write very, maybe differently to most. So I'll start with words and then a melody, and then I bring it to the team. Yeah. And I would try and have sort of like instrumental composition as the last. So I guess I'll usually write songs in like the form of poetry or something, like words.
It's the sound of the words too. I'm sorry. I've been very immersed in the world of Nirvana lately because there's a new book out by Michael Azarad where I don't know if you guys know this band Nirvana, not from Minnesota, not folk singers, but they, Kurt Cobain had this way of just like, Michael asserts that Kurt just had a way of taking words and putting them in the right spots. Like that's basically it. If they don't make a ton of sense, but he just had a way of hitting them a certain way. And I'm not suggesting that Mabel is anything like Nirvana, but it's on my mind that people's choices, as much as what they're saying, like the way they hit the words in the rest of the arrangement is actually a huge thing. I mean, again, this is probably pop songwriting 101. I just want to commend you all. I feel like you have this ability to take a few accessible, straightforward phrases and make them heavy. I think that's a rare gift. It's a complex question at this point. I don't know if I have a question per se, but Ali, you bring an idea like this to the band. How much workshopping, how much back and forth is going on with you and the other members when people bring in their individual song ideas?
I mean, this one I remember fully writing and mulling over for months. I wrote the whole thing. And because the guitar was pretty easy, I brought the easy guitar to the table. And then all the production we figured out together, more or less like on the spot at Port William. The amazing thing I think that everyone must know about Gloam is we did live together through the time that we wrote it. And I think a lot of us moving in together was about being able to spend time writing. That being said, it was a very spliced up couple years and very independent and at times isolating. And we had a lot of space away from each other and together, but it was kind of like I remember everyone being very busy in their own worlds for those years. But then we had so much time to work on our own things and we'd bring them to like the collective. So yeah, I think it's different with every song.
Yeah.
I will say a lot of the production is often worked out on the spot, on the go, with less so with the second album. But
I agree with that. But I do remember there was this one night we were, because in my memory, a lot of the time, like, you know, Fez would come over because Ali and Loren and I were living together. And so we'd come over and we'd sit in the living room and then just start, you know, playing songs, sharing songs. And then, but with All At Once specifically, Ali was like, here's this song. I don't know what we can do with it. If it, you know, is anything that we can build.
Sure.
And then as soon as, you know, one of us sees something, yeah, like let's try and like, you know, exercise this more. Then I do remember, yeah, just being in the living room and just coming up with different ways that we could develop the track. But yes, like Ali's saying, a lot of it is kind of like, we don't know what's going to be when it's recording week. So it's a lot of experimenting. Yeah. But in terms of like a foundation, in terms of experimentation, I think a lot of that come from living room sessions.
Yeah. A lot of the time too, you're just bringing it and you're like, is this trash or is this not trash? And then you have people around you that are like, okay. And like, those are the ones that are workshopped. And then it gives you confidence to be like, okay, I'll continue in my writing process.
Oh,
but
I remember me and you in a yurt at one point during our recording week, splitting off, but that was a different song. What song was that? The Sting.
That was
I remember us coming up with. Yeah, that's the only song that Al and I have written together, just the two of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
That week, it was hilarious. I just want to give a little bit of a spiel. I'm excited about that song because it's amazing. I was that week, I was just finishing my last week at grad school. And so I get into the studio and the girls are like, we've just written a song and finished it. And I was like, what? So what are we all going to do then? Like, what else can we add to this on the spot? Anyway, that's my little preface.
It was hard. I remember we were sort of sweating over it. Because
Jonas was so excited. He was like, the bridge is amazing.
Because Loren and I have, I would say, right? Different writing styles, maybe? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to really come together and like complement each other's strengths. And it was an amazing learning, I think, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was so fun.
Fez, when you have four different songwriters working on things the way you are, and now you're starting to collaborate more by the sounds of what everyone was just saying, it can be tricky to have a coherent expression on an album, like for the songs to kind of cohere, I suppose. Has there been any articulation of a kind of a philosophical approach to what you want to sing about, per se? I pick up on a lot of feeling in all of the music. It's a lot of, and within that, some thoughts and deep thoughts and those sorts of things, but have you had these kinds of conversations, Fez, the hard conversations a band might have to have of like, what do we want to kind of stand for? What are we writing about together? Has that been articulated at all?
I think if it hasn't been like articulated in that way, you know, as we're getting closer to like recording week, we start figuring out what the shape of things is. And because we're like all best friends, you know, we're like talking about what's going on in our lives anyway. And so there's some understanding of what we're all writing about, I think. And then some of us brought more songs than others. And, you know, leading up to the time we had booked at the studio, I think we threw a couple out and sort of, just discussed what would make it. And it was based on, I don't know, the shape that the whole thing was sort of taking on its own, just based on like the material that everyone had brought. Does this make sense?
It does. When bands who live together, tour together, spend a lot of time together, if they have separate writers, you tend to find shared experiential threads
as they write individually. This is interesting. You're kind of geographically disparate. I think it's telling that one of you suggested that you did live together while writing some of these songs, I think you said. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, you might by osmosis start writing about kind of similar things. But now that the band's kind of separated, I wonder if that's as easy. Has it been more of a challenge? I'll go to Loren on this. Has it been more of a challenge to write Maybelle songs as you are not all in the same cities?
Mm-hmm. I think we haven't been like consciously writing during this period. Lo and I wrote a song together a couple months ago. And that was like the only thing that I was like, oh, maybe this could be a Maybelle song. I think we're very touch and go with this band because it's always been based on our friendship and like sharing songs with each other. And the fact that we have a label now is like kind of hilarious and great and like exciting, but that was never the goal with this project. It was all about just like us kind of making things and seeing what happened. So we all also have separate projects. So
yeah,
we have like solo bands. What I've been hearing over the last couple months is more like people writing their own material rather than writing for the band.
Well, and the term gloam, if I understand things correctly, it sort of is it a Scottish term? It means transition of some kind. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a certain
twilight.
It means like twilight.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, twilight. So that literally the transition from, what would that be? Day to night? No, night to day? I can't
night
remember which. Yeah, thank you.
Day to night.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I don't know anything. I just live in my little bunker here and I don't know what any words mean. So does that notion of transition speak to where the band's at in any particular way? I'll go to Loris on this. You think?
I think so. I think that because the songs were written during the pandemic, most of them, or some of them, a good amount, I think that was sort of a transition period of obviously becoming more, you know, reflective.
Yeah.
Individually, collectively, so on. And now that we are out of that period and, you know, now we are transitioning into now where basically this album is coming out very soon. It takes on a different meaning of transition. And I think it's not supposed to imply anything in particular. I think it's just a general theme of transition. And who knows what the next Maybelle meeting point is going to be, where it's going to be, how it's going to be. But I think I'm excited about it. I believe that something will happen and will continue to happen.
It's a very mysterious band. I think one of you already alluded to the fact that you haven't done a lot of press. There's some enigmatic qualities here. You seem to be going with the flow, and are excited to work together. But you also don't know what's going to happen next. It seems like a good enough thread to probe this a little bit. Ali, I mean, I feel like we've talked a little bit about the record. I hope we talked about it enough. I think it's something that people need to hear. I'll say that first of all. I think to experience for themselves and pick up on the meanings, because like I'm just quite taken with the sound of it all, and I'm still processing maybe what some of it means. I like the turns of phrases I've said, but getting back to my question, Ali, do you have a sense of what's next for Maybelle at this point?
Great question.
Oh, I have so many good questions. It's crazy. This show should have just been called Great Questions with Vish Khanna.
I think it's wild because I think sometimes life gets in the way of this band, and we've definitely felt that in the past years. But like, no matter what feels like its priority, like this will always bring me back to a certain sense of happiness and hope and futurity in my life, you know? So I think like this past winter, I actually settled in pretty well here and was really excited to be here. But, you know, the band was actually like in my top two things that I missed and like physically craved, you know? So yeah. I think it's like become so important to us in a way that's hard to describe. And so I hope that whatever happens with our past, we can always make space for it. And the amazing thing is I don't think we actually need a lot of time for incredible things to happen together. And I feel very lucky. I think the time we spend together is very quality and very, very true. So I don't know what is next, but I do know it's important. And I do know that it's kept us connected to something above and outside of ourselves for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know. It gave so much space to holding on and feeling okay during very difficult years. So I feel honored to have spent my 20s, mid to late 20s, working on this project. I mean, they're all a bit older, so they're now their 30s. But I just feel honored. And I think we all are going to just continue to grow into our own worlds. And I hope we can always, make space for this project. I think touring would be great on a more pragmatic answer. I think we all really would love to see what that looks like. And that would take a lot of work. But yeah. So hopefully live shows that we haven't done literally in 4 years. So.
Yeah, I feel like something significant happened and that might be impeding your ability to have a lot of live shows. But I appreciate that very heartfelt and emotional response to one of my great, great questions. Thank you for that, Allie. I'm going to go to Lauren. Lauren, are you guys sort of trading ideas long distance? Like, are you those kinds of people at this point where you'd be like, I got something, and then you email it or send a zip file or something to each other?
Not really. We will share songs if we're excited about them. That hasn't happened in a while. Yeah. It's right now. It's more about like the excitement for this upcoming release.
Okay.
I think it makes me feel like connected to all these guys and close. I mean, Allie's like in a completely different time zone. And as she said, she hasn't had internet. So it's like, it's fun to have this collective countdown. It just makes me feel like we're in the same place.
Nice. Okay.
Well, I think we do sort of make things happen through by any means, you know, like as much as we said, we were like together in the same apartment doing some of the writing. That was like a brief period, but then really I feel like a lot of the time leading up and making this record, we were in different places and our schedules were totally incongruous. But then like, eventually, you know, we made it to the studio together and like cobbled something together, and it all felt kind of scary because the songs weren't all finished. And then, you know, we didn't even complete it in that time, and then the file sort of sat for like months, many months.
And then, sorry to interject, Fez literally saved it. Fez and Jonas, I will say, cleaned up. We had it. We didn't have a plan. It was kind of sitting there dead for a while and
missing a lot of elements.
When I think we all kind of became a bit afraid of it because it was these unfinished projects and we weren't totally happy with it. But again, I think, you know, Ide Fix sort of hold us responsible. So occasionally we get a fire under our ass or like a deadline and then we like become hyper focused and we like make it happen, you know? And we should mention that Jonas, who has acted as like sort of co-producer on both these records, we owe a lot to him for like how these records sound and come together.
He's getting to the point where I can tell it's a Jonas record. It's a Jonas. He's getting to this point now where I'm like, oh, this might be a Jonas joint. It kind of sounds like something he would have made. And then sure enough, when I look in a liner note now, I'm like, yep, Jonas was involved. Yeah. So he's developing I'm being sort of silly, but I'm saying he's developing idiosyncrasies, identifiable traits as a producer, which is a magical thing. I've been a fan of his for a long, long time. And I feel like he's been in the background a lot more of late, helping people make records as opposed to making his own, his evening hymns as much. And this sounds like a Jonas record. So I appreciate you shouting him out because I meant to ask about him.
He's the Canadian Jack Antonoff. But better. Not Jack Antonoff. He's nothing like Jack Antonoff.
You want to take that back? Are you a little obsessed?
Yeah, I want to take it back.
A little obsessed with Jack Antonoff, are you there?
Is take it back.
I
don't want to drag Antonoff. He had some good moments, but in my opinion, kind of lost it. Yeah. Nothing to do with him.
Jonas is good people. Yeah. Sorry.
Good people.
Very good people.
Also, Kaylee drums on this record. Eliza plays all over this record.
Eliza,
there's
Gammy.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
And I just sort of caught that we've all sort of been self-effacing about, like, Lo, maybe it made it seem like she tried fiddle with Mabel once and then gave it up, but she plays violin on both records. And Allie, who wrote that great song out once,
plays guitar.
Wrote that song on guitar and plays guitar on the record. And I wanted to mention.
I also played percussion with a piece of paper. That is the extent of my musical contribution.
I hope people will listen to this album because I do think it sonically is unlike anything I've heard in a long time. This conversation contextualizes a lot of things, so I'm going to start thinking about. I don't mean to be reductive, but every Friday, my family and I usually have a family movie night. My kids and my wife and I, we have a little home theater set up. And this week, it was my turn to pick. So we all take turns picking. And I've been listening to this record for the last few weeks of yours. And for some reason, subconsciously, I thought I'd pick for family movie night, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Mm. Now,
love.
I don't know why, but there's something about the siren. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that film. It was made by folk singers from Minnesota, but this is great. I love this callback. I'm the only one laughing at it at this point inside. But my point is, there's a sequence where there's these sirens singing in the river. And I was like, maybe I paused for a moment yesterday thinking, why did I pick Oh Brother, Where Art Thou out of nowhere? Oh, right. I've been listening to Mabel all this time. Maybe there's a little bit of a connect. And then you mentioned the bluegrass stuff, arguably that soundtrack, that film kickstarted a renewed interest in Ralph Stanley and maybe Bill Monroe. I don't know if that actually happened, but yeah. So I'm just saying the world. And then in the end, my son was like, can't make movie night. I'm going swimming with my friends. And I was like, and then my daughter's like, family movie night canceled. It's not the full family. I'm like, okay. So my idea got thwarted by water.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm just saying there's a weird connection between Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, the people in the water singing the siren song, and then hearing your voices on this beautiful record, Gloam.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Thank you for that. We love Gillian Welsh in this family, so that's huge. Also, that soundtrack is one of my favorites of all time.
I can kind of tell. If that makes sense, like it does. I know it became so. It's one of those things where it became so ubiquitous, almost to a cliche. But I think it's actually great music. It should be celebrated.
I can't wait to watch it. You've never watched it.
Oh, so. You're gonna love it.
Soon as I get internet, that's
why. Don't you fly over to Edmonton for family movie night? We make fresh popcorn,
exactly.
And we can watch it together on the couch.
Your kids are like.
Who is this? Oh my gosh. She's great. She's in a great band. You'll like it. Okay. Listen, I appreciate all this. I don't know who the best person to do plugs is, but we haven't heard from Loris in a while. Loris, let's try this. People want to learn more about this band, which I think I've been mispronouncing this whole time on and off. Mabel is how you say it, not Maybell. I don't know why it made it more like a cow or something. I don't know why I did that. I'm sorry. Mabel and the album Gloam. Where can people go to keep track of your comings and goings?
Well, we have a Bandcamp. We don't really have one of those websites that's like, you know, all the information about touring because we don't do that right now. But yeah, there's Bandcamp, there's Spotify. If you go on our Instagram, there's like the link of links.
Yeah, so like a link tree?
A link tree, yeah. So there's different ways that you can stream it. You can buy our album, the vinyl. I'm sure it comes with a digital copy as well.
That's out on eBay Fix, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I have to say,
of course.
Sorry, guys. I just want to point out that Lo did the artwork for the album. And it's so beautiful, and we're so happy with
it. He's the art director.
Wow. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Lo, you're the secret weapon. Oh, obviously, you got everything going on. That's great. It looks beautiful as well. I've only seen it digitally, so I'll pick up a vinyl copy too because I really enjoy it. Thank you for this. By the way, Link of Links is a better name than Linktree. I just want to say that too. I like that.
I didn't coin it. It was either Jeff or Alex. It might have been Jeff from eBay Fix who mentioned something about a Link of Links, and I love that term.
Links.
Sentence.
No, it's cool. Well, listen, I do really want to thank you all for making time to be on the show. I hope we got to some stuff. Sorry if I was being silly, but Saturday morning and I'm a little wired and tired at the same time. I'm full of coffee and lack of sleep. I hope we can go out on a song from Gloam for people to hear. This is where things can get complicated. Fez is a loyal listener to the show, or so he says. And he mentions I'm kidding. He might know that when I have a large group of people, it becomes ugly. It can be a debate. I'll ask one of you to pick a song. All of you have veto power,
until we land on a song to go out on, a consensus. So this is going to be complicated.
So
who
fun.
Am I going to pick here? Fez. Fez, if we can go out on a song from Gloam, which one would you pick and why?
God. Well, yeah, I am a loyal listener, so I knew this would happen. And I thought I should prepare for this. But instead, I've just sort of circled the prospect in my mind anxiously, but I haven't landed on it. I think, well, geez, it should be one that all the voices are on, or all three voices anyway.
And yours.
Well, and I don't yours, know. One that represents the record, maybe one that's topical to this conversation. Thesis. I know that sort of happens sometimes on this show. You know, it's like, well, we've been talking about it. But so I still don't know. Do you guys have any ideas?
The thesis, Fez.
The thesis?
The last one. Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
For nothing? I think we should do that
for
one.
Nothing. Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'm not
nothing.
Comfortable with that, but I, of course,
that's Fez's song.
Because he wrote it.
But we all sing
amazing.
On it, and it's a great way to end something.
Sure.
Yeah. That's it. Sorry.
Why was it called? Was someone saying the thesis? Is that what I kept hearing?
Allie was saying the thesis. Yeah, I didn't realize that was the thesis of the record.
I think it's a thesis.
You think that, but it's not. The song is not called the thesis. It's called For Nothing. Is that clear? Am I clear on this?
No. Okay. That'd be really audacious if we called it the thesis.
Yeah, the thesis. I feel like everyone chimed in there except Loris. Loris, do you have any issues with us going out on For Nothing?
No, definitely. I was hoping that he would say For Nothing. I think that it builds and builds and builds throughout the song. And at the very end, it's very choral. Choral?
Mm-hmm. Choral. Siren-y, even.
Mm-hmm. But it's very choir-like, let's say that.
And the chorus is, forgive me if it's, I can't remember if it's this or that. All that work for nothing?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as an independent podcaster, I relate. Okay, let's hear this song right now. This is For Nothing from the beautiful, beautiful new album Gloam by Mabel. I want to thank Fez, Ali, Loris, Lauren. Thank you so much for making time for me and my silly show. I really appreciate this. Clearly, you have a lovely and beautiful family dynamic here. I appreciate you welcoming me in. To it, even for this brief period. It feels like a special thing you have going. So I hope it continues, and I wish you the best luck with everything, and I hope we talk soon. Thanks again.
Thanks, we're obsessed Paige. With you guys.
We're honestly, obsessed.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
That's a hell of a way to meet people that I've never really met. Well, I guess I had met Fez before when he was a little kid, which I don't remember at all. Anyway, I was a little wired and tired at the same time, but I think we had a nice chat there. Thanks to all the members of Mabel for being on this show, which happens to be the 822nd episode of Creative Control, which is part of the Entertainment One podcast network and is available just about wherever it is you get your podcasts. If you can't find an episode that you're looking for, or if you want to learn more about me and sign up for my monthly newsletter, please visit vishkana.com. You can also like Creative Control on and follow it on various social media platforms. We have some sort of presence on most of them. There's a Facebook page you can like or follow. What's the difference between liking and following a thing on Facebook? They just sort of pulled that. I've never known the difference. Sometimes I think I'm clicking the right things. I don't even... You'll know what to do. You use Facebook, I'm sure. Also, you can follow the show on Twitter at vishcreative for now. And you can also follow the show on Twitter and on Instagram at vishkana. I'm also on Blue Sky. We're all trying to get Blue Sky going, and it's modest. I have a modest following there. I just started not too long ago. So you can follow me on Blue Sky or also Threads and TikTok, and there's a YouTube channel for Creative Control, all those things. Just look it up, and if whatever you need, I'm sure I've mostly done things that will make it so you can follow or subscribe to the show. Also, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation to support all of the work that I put into this podcast. As we're speaking, I've done it. I've intimated that I want to do a campaign pledge drive to get the show up to a certain level. I've suggested $3,000, I guess American. That would cover most of the expenses. I haven't said this anywhere else, but I'll say it to you. That would help cover most of the housing expenses in my life. And I think if I can justify that, then that's what I do. I do the show all the time and I don't have to worry about other things. But I'm not there yet. As we're speaking, it's very modest. But it has, since I put the word out, people are upping their current donations or we've got a couple of new donors. And I'm working on prize packs and incentives. So if you ever wanted to support the Patreon page, now's the time because stuff's happening and I'm working on some stuff. So go to patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation today and get the show, help me get the show up to that level, $3,000. I also want to thank Blackbird Music, a wonderful record store with locations in Calgary and Edmonton, Alberta. You can learn more about them at blackbird.ca. Also want to thank Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, Planet Bean Coffee, Granddad's Donuts, and Jim Guthrie. All for their in-kind support for this show or what have you. You can learn more about Jim, by the way, at jimguthrie.org. And finally, thank you for listening to this episode with Mabel. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you'll subscribe to this podcast and follow it and tell your friends all about it. I'm going to go now. I'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.